ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
You look at Babylon today, you go, well, come on, Joe, it's nothing. How can this be the commercial center of the world? Well, let me share a few things with you, and then you can come to your own conclusion. In Isaiah 13, verses 17 through 18, we're told of the fall of Babylon by the Medes and the Persians. This is what it says. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, who will not regard silver, and as for gold, they will not delight in it. Also, their bows will dash the young men to pieces, and they will have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eye will not spare children. And when that happened in 539 BC, Babylon was not destroyed. Remember, the Medo-Persian army entered through the gates of the city, not the gates on the land, but the gates through the Euphrates River. They diverted the Euphrates River, and the levels went down, and they forgot the Babylonians forgot to lock the gates, and the Persians just walked into the city, and it was an easy battle for them. The army was already in before the soldiers knew anything about it. It's interesting, Isaiah 40, chapters 44 and 45, you can see that God says the gates would not be locked. And that's exactly what happened. Now, again, this wasn't a battle. Babylon wasn't destroyed, the city itself. And what happened is the Persians used the city of Babylon as a secondary capital for 2 centuries. Then in 325 BC, Alexander the Great conquered the Persians, made Babylon his capital. He died in Babylon, and his empire was divided up between his 4 generals. And that's just what Daniel said. Wasn't going to be given to his children, but to his 4 generals. And you could read about it, how they fought, especially the ones from the north and the south. I think it was Ptolemy, I forgot the other one. But they were fighting, and Daniel goes into great detail showing how they fought back and forth, and Israel was right in the middle. Now again, Babylon wasn't destroyed the way God said it was. In Isaiah 13, verses 19 through 22, it says, "In Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldeans' pride, will be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It will never be inhabited, nor will it be settled from generation to generation. Nor will the Arabian pitch tents there, nor will the shepherds make their sheepfolds there, but wild beasts of the desert will lie there. And their houses will be full of owls, ostriches will dwell there, and wild goats will caper there. The hyenas will howl in their citadels, and jackals in their pleasant places. Her time is near to come, and her days will not be prolonged." Now think about it. Babylon, the city itself, is not where the city of Iraq is, okay? It's a little bit different. So Babylon itself hasn't been rebuilt. But it was never destroyed. How was Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed? Fire and brimstone. So I kind of find that interesting. That never happened to Babylon. The Medo-Persian army didn't destroy it like that, nor did the Grecian army. And I think it's going to be rebuilt. You know, you remember the late Saddam Hussein, the leader of Iraq, and what was known as Babylon. Again, it wasn't where the ancient city was, but he began to rebuild it in 1985, the ancient city. Spent over $500 million to reconstruct the city and build a modern residence on the ruins of Nebuchadnezzar's palace. Now, obviously, he's been removed from power and executed, but they're still building there. The UN Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization is pumping millions of dollars into Babylon and several other historical sites in Iraq. And with the help of private donors, they hope to turn Babylon into a thriving center of tourism and commerce. So I always find it interesting that what the world is trying to do, God already says, this is what's going to happen. They think they're doing this. They're just following what God says. They need to read the book, right? Maybe this is just the beginning of this commercial empire, but I think it's going to grow very quickly. Time will tell. We'll see. Henry Morris made this interesting point about Babylon. He said, "The site of modern Babylon is strategically located at the crossroads of Asia, Europe, and Africa, and is not far from the Persian Gulf. It is also near the world's richest oil fields and has a virtually unlimited water supply from the Euphrates. Those considerations led the famed historian Arnold Toynbee to proclaim that Babylon would be an ideal site for an important political and cultural center. Isn't that interesting? Years ago, he made those statements, and I think we're seeing it coming to pass. Why do the merchants love this commercial center? Why will they love it? Because it's made them rich. They lust for riches. They have no feelings of what's right or what's wrong. It's all about them gaining more at any cost, never satisfied, even though they're, you know, having a great time, they're still not satisfied. We want more. I think it was Rockefeller when someone asked him, how much more money do you need to make? And he said, just a little bit more. It never ends. And when you have Jesus, you're satisfied in him, right? He meets all that we need. You know, Solomon, Proverbs 27:20 said, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Wow. You know, talk about America today, right? America's never satisfied. They're always looking for bigger, better, whatever. Bigger home, bigger car. You know, where does it end? There's true satisfaction in Jesus. It's interesting. And I'll just add this little side note. What are the prosperity teachers telling us today? Oh, you know, you just got to, you know, blab it and grab it. You just got to name it and claim it. And all these riches can be your, you know, you give to God, $100 and he'll give you 100-fold back. You know, you give him 100 houses, you get 100-fold worth of houses back. Isn't that great? More and more riches, right? They'll even tell you Jesus was rich. I don't know. He said he had no place to lay his head. I don't think he was rich. I think he came from a poor family. Why do I say that? Well, think about it. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem and Mary and Joseph were warned to flee to Egypt, what resources did they have to survive in Egypt? Oh, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh that the kings brought, right? Isn't it interesting how God provided for them? Because they had nothing. How are they going to survive in a foreign country? With what God gave to them. But all these riches, you know, gaining more and more, what are you going to do with it? You know, my mom, she's like, going to move, right? She's going to get it moving to a smaller place. She's moving from Illinois to Missouri. And she doesn't know what to do with all the stuff she has. I told my son, when your mom and I die, it's all yours to figure out what to do with. Because I'm not moving until I die and go to heaven. I don't want to deal with it. But look at what God has to say. You know, in verse 4, it's kind of interesting. In verse 4 here in Revelation 18, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, unless you receive of her plagues. Get out of her. Don't go into that. Why are you going there? Now, this is speaking of the tribulation saints. We're gone. But you know what? Can't we as Christians get sucked into this? And work and work and work and work and work and work. More hours, more hours, more hours. We don't have time for family. We don't have time for God. We also look at, you know, look how many Christians are part of the liberal church today. Look at how easy they're sucked into that. We have to remember Satan and his demonic forces can easily deceive us because they can entice us with all kinds of things that feed the flesh. You know, that's kind of what entertainment or service does. It feeds the flesh. And guys, I was at Willow Creek years and years and years ago. And their skits, their plays that they put on were better than what was on television. That's how good they were. But there was no, I was spiritually starving to death and I knew it. I was a new Christian and I knew I was starving. I wanted to be fed and they just wouldn't allow me to. So yeah, it's easy to get sucked into it. And remember, Satan and his demonic forces and those who follow him transform themselves into angels of light. Do you really think that false teachers have false teacher written on their forehead? If they did, it'd be really easy, right? Well, then we could be deceived. We could, but we shouldn't be, because we have the Word of God to expose the falseness that's out there. We have to remember that. You know, coming out from this world system, all that's it's trying, how it's trying to entice us. Just look at TV commercials. What are they trying to do? They're enticing you to buy their product. I'll give you a few verses that are calling people out of Babylon or this false ungodly system. Jeremiah 51:6. Flee from the midst of Babylon, and everyone save his life. Do not be cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He shall recompense her. Flee. Lord's judgment's coming. Don't get involved in this system. Jeremiah 51:45. My people, go out of the midst of her, out of Babylon, and let everyone deliver himself from the fierce anger of the Lord. Why does the Lord have to keep calling for us to flee, to get out of her midst? Because we keep going in, and there's destruction that's going to happen. You're not going to profit like you think. Isaiah 52:11. Depart, depart, go out from there, touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her, be clean, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. Now, I realize you're saying, well, you know, that's Old Testament. You know, it's not New Testament. Well, fine. I'll give you 2 Corinthians 6:14-18. Paul said, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Baal? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has a temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. There is the call. Come out from among them. Don't get sucked into them, which is really easy to do. The Corinthians accepted the darkness along with the light, Baal and Christ. And what communion has light with darkness? It doesn't. Well, I guess you know this. I don't just let anyone come and teach from the pulpit. I am very careful, and the people that do teach, I know who they are, and I trust them. But I just don't let anyone come up here. Why? Because I'm accountable. I want the truth to go forth. I don't want darkness to go out. In fact, Hodge of these verses here in Corinthians says, parties are said to be in communion when they are so united that what belongs to the one belongs to the other, or when what is true of the one is true of the other. You know, you can't play in the mud and not get dirty, right? It's impossible. You can't play with the world and not have that affect you. Now, I'm not saying we are to just find, you know, get together in a little Christian community and isolate ourselves from the world. No. We are to be in this world ministering, but the world is not to be in us. And that's why as we spend our time in the world, we are washed with the water of God's word for cleansing, because the world's influence upon us is so hard. It's so difficult. It's kind of drawing us away from God. And we see that today that many churches, the world has influenced them so much that the church has become just like the world. It was interesting, you know, years ago, and it's probably still going on today, the church wanted to have its services like the world. And so they looked at what the world was doing. But the funny thing is, the church was always a few years behind the world. So what the world was done with, the church was just starting to do. And it was kind of ridiculous. You know, Paul told Timothy, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time's going to come when they're not going to endure sound doctrine. They're going to want to have their ears tickled. You know, Paul told Timothy, don't give in to it. You preach the word. That's what we do here at Calvary. We preach the word. If people want to hear it, they don't want to hear it, whatever, it doesn't matter. Because this is what's important for our lives. In fact, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. When you are focusing all your attention with the world or with the unsaved, that's where you're spending all your time, they're going to rub off on you. It's just the way it is. You know, I used the illustration before. Get a 300-pound man, put him on the floor, and you stand up on the chair. You're the Christian, he's the unsaved. You try to pull him up on that chair. It's not going to happen, is it? Put the 300-pound man, keep the 300-pound man on the floor. You're on the chair, and how easy it is for him to pull you down. And that's what happens. Again, I'm not saying we isolate ourselves from the unsaved. We have to be out in this world. But once we let that world come in us, we're going to be sunk. It's going to affect our lives, and I've seen it so often with Christians who, you know, support Black Lives Matter, support Antifa. How can you do that? Support people that are running for office that are for abortion. How could you do that? For me, and I'm just being honest with you, if the presidential candidates, both of them, were for abortion, I wouldn't vote. I couldn't. That's just me. You're going to have to pray about that one. But for me, I could not support anyone who was for abortion. We have to be careful. I don't care how careful you are. Like I said, when you play with dirt, you're going to get dirty. And we're going to get dirty in this world by just living in it. But then you wash yourself with the Word of God. Just the way it is. Don't fill your life with evil. Surround yourself with evil. Don't do it, because it will affect your life. What are we to do? You know, I like what Paul said in Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9, after he said, don't be anxious for anything, but with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The peace of God, which guards your hearts, will guard your hearts and minds. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then he says, okay, how do you get that peace of God? Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. There it is. What are you filling your life with? I guarantee you, if I sat you in front of the television to watch CNN or Fox News 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you'd be crazy. You'd be anxious, worried, mad, whatever. But I'll tell you what, if I had, you know, audio track of the Word of God and played that for you, God's Word would fill you with peace, comfort, hope. You see the difference? I like what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 16 and 17. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple are you? Wow. Do we understand that God dwells in us? We're the temple of God, the Holy of Holies. And it's his glory that shines through us, the Shekinah glory. Remember, and the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, the two cherubim on the top of the mercy seat facing each other. And God sat above the mercy seat. His glory filled not only the tabernacle, but the temple. God says, now you are that temple. And the Spirit of God dwells in you. Well, why can't people see Jesus in me? Because you're not spending enough time with him. And they're seeing you. I don't want people to see Joe. I want them to see Jesus. What's different? Why are you doing that? Why did you say that? I can't believe you're so nice to that person that just chewed you out. Why? Let them see Jesus. We need to come out from among them and be separate, not touching what is unclean. So important. In fact, Paul in Ephesians 5:11 said, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Yeah, expose the darkness. How do you expose the darkness? Turn on the light. When you shine, you will expose the darkness. It's just the way it works. For this commercial Babylon, God is talking about these tribulation saints. Get out from among them. Don't get caught up in that system. Come out, because judgment is coming. It's easy to do the wrong thing. You know, you see people, and oh, don't do that, right? You know, I just, the scary movies, right? I used to love going to scary movies at the movie theater, and you'd hear the music change. You knew, uh-oh, something bad is happening. And then the woman is going to open the door. And you're like, don't open the door. Come on. Right? Because you know something bad's going to happen. When you start getting involved in this, the world system, something bad's going to happen. Don't open that door. That's the idea. Don't be pulled away from God. How can we not be pulled away from God? Are you reading your Bible? Are you coming to church? Are you using the gifts that God has given you to bless the body of Christ? You know, be active. The devil loves it when we do nothing. Why? First of all, we're not ministering to anyone. Secondly, idle hands are the devil's workshop. He loves to mess us up when we're all alone doing nothing. I know people hear this over and over again. But, you know, are you praying? Are you using the gifts that God has given you? Are you coming to church? Are you reading your Bible? It's so important. It's just like, you know, when people go, oh, I got this great job. I'm going to be moving such and such a place. And my first question always is there a church in the area? And they go, oh, when we get there, we'll find it. No. No. Go find a church in the area first. And I'll tell you, I see it. I've seen what happens. They go to another area for this great job, and there's no church. And they're bouncing around, and they can't find a church. God warns us. We need to be careful. We need to flee these things, as Paul told Timothy. Well, what do we do when we flee these things? We pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. We fight the good fight of faith, and we lay hold on eternal life, to which we're also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. It's a battle, isn't it? Darren and I were talking about ministry. And, you know, when you're in ministry, you get attacked all the time. Why? Because you're ministering to the people of God. God wants to discourage you, cause you to drop out. The number of pastors that drop out of ministry in 2 to 5 years is incredible. They can't take it anymore. It's a battle. And you have to know when you're doing something for God, you are going to be attacked. I mean, I could tell you over the last 6 months all the things that's gone on in my life, and you would just shake your head and you would say, Joe, why are you still doing it? Because this is where God has called me. This is what he wants me to do. And I'm not going to let the devil discourage me because I know what God has called me to do. And we have to remember that. We're not to love the world, John said in 1 John 2, nor the things of the world. Because if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world's passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Now, people freak out with that. Oh, I can't buy a new car. You know, I can't get new clothes. I can't go to the movies or watch a football game or a baseball game. No, that's not what John is saying. He's saying the world system that is against God, the system where Satan is ruling over. Don't get caught up in that. Don't love that world system. It's not that you can't buy a new phone or a car or whatever, not at all. But if the focus of your life is the things of this world, then yeah, you got a problem. You can't serve two masters. And it's interesting. The things of this world are passing away. They're not going to stand. God's going to shake this world. So don't hold on too tight to these things, right? Look at verse 5 here, Revelation 18. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix for her double. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen and am no widow and will not see sorrow. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. There are people who believe that God is unaware of what they do, God doesn't care, or God can't do anything about the things that they're doing. And they're wrong. And that's a dangerous attitude to have. Don't mistake the grace of God for God not caring or can't do anything about it. We see here that those who have succumbed to her ways have reached to heaven or have been heaped up. All the things that they've done, God is totally aware of everything that they did. They've reached their end. And this is the final call, really, to God's people to get out of this corrupt system. Don't be involved in it before judgment falls. And look at, as we look at all that's going on in the world and in our country, all the corruption, all the immorality, all the wickedness, we see how long-suffering God is, right? I mean, we see this stuff and we go, gosh, God, Now, if I was God, I would have. That would have been it. They would have been toast, right? We get so angry. But God is very patient. He's very long-suffering. Why? Because he wants people to be saved. He's given them every opportunity. But for us, look, man, I mean, someone cuts us off the road, we're ready, you know, to smite them, right? How could you do that? But God, he sees all, and he even knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. We watch the news, and we're like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe it.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with his sustaining word.